Mr. Speaker, 15 years ago, following the formation of the first National Leap Coalition under MMP, three members of Parliament were invited by Ngāti Hine to Aotearoa Marae. Each member was presented with a gift. Two of the gifts were weapons of war. One was a wakahuia. The three members were the Right Honourable Winston Peters, the Honourable Tohenari, and myself. And there is no prize for guessing who received the wakahuia. The Kaumātua told me to fill this treasure box with those things I most valued from my parliamentary life. So what have they been? First and foremost, I have greatly valued the support of North Shore over five elections. North Shore is a vibrant place where people roll up their sleeves to achieve for their families and for the community. And as their representative, I have listened to the voice of the Shore through clinics, through meetings, through coffees, and through catch-ups. And I've carried their voice to this chamber. Mr. Speaker, it has been a great honour to serve the people of the North Shore. I came to Parliament believing in the power of ideas to improve people's lives. Here, those ideas could actually be actioned. Freedom of choice is a fundamental tenet of a free society, and that has been at the heart of so many debates in this chamber. I believed then, as I do now, that New Zealanders are best served by an open and free economy to enable them to take charge of their own lives. But, Mr. Speaker, ideas for change and their implementation can occur whether in government or in opposition. My volunteers' employment protection members' bill was subsequently implemented by a Labor government. The 90-day bill reached the Select Committee and was the precursor of government bills in 2008 and 2010. To have the opportunity in this fifth national-led government, led by Prime Minister John Key, and to be both the Minister of Defence and the Minister of Science and Innovation has been a great privilege. In the area of innovation, during our time in opposition, a North Shore group and I had prepared a blueprint to get our country moving. We believed that New Zealand had failed to take advantage of the 10 years of relative prosperity preceding 2008 to really lift our country. Yes, there had been some useful initiatives, but there'd been no real sense of urgency. Other countries had not been so complacent. Finland, Denmark, Israel, Singapore, and Queensland with its smart state strategy, just to name a few. And as a result, they have achieved faster growth and greater confidence in their future. So my focus as Minister of Science and Innovation has been pushing an agenda for growth. We have simplified the system and provided strategic direction. That is why the Ministry of Science and Innovation has been established. We have provided a long-term approach for Crown Research Institutes. And crucially, this government has connected science to a broader economic agenda. And I believe the effects are starting to be seen. There is a greater sense of aspiration, particularly amongst younger science entrepreneurs. There has been an increase in total expenditure on science and innovation from 1.2% to 1.3% of GDP. Whilst that is actually a modest gain, it is a start and, in fact, has been achieved during a period of recession. Mr. Speaker, this is actually an area of political consensus, but a committed national effort is required. And that is the key lesson from the countries that I cited earlier. And it is the biggest opportunity that faces our nation. The defence portfolio was likewise in need of reform. There had not been a white paper for 13 years. The last significant work had been the Cross-Party Select Committee report, Defence Beyond 2000, in which Myself and the Honourable Derek Quigley had worked very closely together. The previous government had implemented some of those changes, but new challenges have emerged. And the 2010 Defence Review and the Capability Plan launched this week provide a coherent defence force relevant to New Zealand's needs and our place in the world. The most significant challenge in the next two decades is the changing balance of power in the Asia-Pacific region. And I believe as a small country, we can make a vital contribution to enhance stability and prosperity within our region. However, it is not reform which is the most testing part of defence. It is that we ask our young men and women to put their lives on the line in the service of our country. And over the last 3 years, 9 young New Zealanders, including last week Lance Corporal Leon Smith, have died either in operations overseas or in fulfilling their roles within New Zealand. I know that their loss is keenly felt by all of us in this house and by all New Zealanders. Mr. Speaker, a valedictory is a time to reflect on lessons learned. The most important of those lessons is that trust and integrity are the guiding values for decision making. It's how we develop our party's policy, it's how we debate our ideas in caucus and cabinet, and it's how we serve the people. And it is the expectation that each of us should have of ourselves. And these values are critical when making the hard decisions, some of which relate to New Zealand's place in the world. In Afghanistan, we are part of a coalition of 49 nations. Virtually all of these nations share common democratic values and are the most internationally engaged nations in the world. These are the nations with which we have our strongest links. All of these nations have experienced acts of al-Qaeda terrorism. And I remind this House, and indeed the country, that 7 New Zealanders have been killed by acts of terrorism in the last decade. So we have a common commitment to Afghanistan so that it can become a functioning member in the family of nations rather than an outlaw state harbouring al-Qaeda as it was under the Taliban. Mr. Speaker, on this I stand with the Prime Minister. We do not honour our fallen by running when the going gets tough. We do not honour our country by shirking from our responsibilities. And we do not honour each other when we resile from our principles. Mr. Speaker, we are all part of a team. The leader of our team, John Key, has the vision and sets the direction for our government. And can I thank you, Prime Minister, for giving me the opportunity to serve in the Cabinet. And can I also thank you, and I believe this will be shared by all of my colleagues, for allowing us such a large degree of autonomy to develop the direction in our portfolios. And I believe that freedom that you have given each of us is one of the secrets of your success as a leader. The Prime Minister's sense of what New Zealanders expect from government and my colleagues' steady competence has engendered confidence and stability in these difficult times, including dealing with the Canterbury earthquakes and the Pike River mine disaster. Mr. Speaker, MPs arrive in this Parliament as a group, and in my case, it is the class of 96. There are now only 3 of us left out of 10, Gerry Brownlee, Georgina and myself. And on November the 27th, there will be only Gerry, but he's big enough to stand alone. Mr. Speaker, I've appreciated working as a team with my fellow North Shore MPs, Murray McCulley, who's been a friend since the age of 18, and Dr. Jonathan Coleman. And can I wish my colleagues every success in the upcoming election, including a future colleague, Maggie Barry, in the North Shore. The team, of course, extends well beyond parliamentarians, and I pay tribute to my parliamentary and ministerial office staff who have put in so much hard work over the last few years. Can I also thank the many parliamentary staff that we all depend on, and who are always quick, I might add, with a cheery word. The messengers, security, receptionists, Bellamy's cleaners, parliamentary library staff, the travel office and VIP transport. But I especially want to thank Adrian Frew, who has worked with me for 10 years. She's been very efficient, and at times I think she's had quite a bit to put up with. I also want to acknowledge my ministerial advisor, Stuart Bogue. We've known each other for many, many years, and he has been invaluable as we've chewed over a wide range of political and defence issues. On this occasion, I also want to acknowledge Chief of Defence, Lieutenant General Rhys Jones, and his predecessor, Governor General, Lieutenant General Sir Juri Matapurai. Also want to acknowledge Rear Admiral Jack Steer, who's been VCDF throughout the time, also the service chiefs, but especially the wider defence family, in which I believe all of us in this House have so much pride. I want to acknowledge John McKinnon, Secretary of Defence. He has provided, as all senior civil servants do, wise counsel from time to time. It often goes like this, doesn't it? What the Minister really meant to say was... I also want to acknowledge Dr. Brooke Barrington for his work on the Defence Review and Des Ashton on some pretty difficult procurement issues. I've been particularly fortunate in the last 3 years to work with a person of Sir Peter Gluckman's stature in science and innovation, and in the ministry, chief executives Dr. Helen Anderson and Murray Bain. And can I say to Murray that he has a tremendous opportunity to lead real change in science and innovation. Mr. Speaker, the National Party in North Shore has been one of my fundamental pillars of strength. There aren't too many to name, but many of them in the gallery. So in my electorate office, Joan Finlayson, Mel MacDonald, and the current team of Tracy Kirkley, Jane Taylor and Sean Topham. I want to acknowledge long-standing friends, President of the party, Peter Goodfellow, Peter Carley, Andrew and Vicky Casely, all have been my mentors. I want to acknowledge also members of the North Shore team specifically, Joan and the late Ross Finlayson, Terry Dunleavy. Terry's been known to test a few National Party leaders. Bob Keating, Baron Faye Mason and Jean Allen. And in the current executive team, Lorraine Campbell, Matt Kemp, Richard Gates and, of course, Cam Calder, now here as a Member of Parliament. But at this time, thanks must especially go to one's own family, the MAP and Henare whānau, particularly my parents, Heather and Gordon, my sisters, Cheryl and Wendy, my brother-in-law, Chris, and my late sister-in-law, Darlene. I miss her greatly. And also, of course, especially to my wife, Denise. Denise has always provided her love and support and her wise counsel, and in a typical Henare fashion, in a rather forthright fashion. But I could not have entered political life without her support. Can I say to all members of this House, I wish you well. I'd also like to acknowledge my colleague Alan Peachey for his decision today. As we all know who are giving valedictory addresses, it's a bittersweet moment in leaving. But the wakahuia that I received some 15 years ago now brims with treasures that I will long remember. But it is a time for new beginnings. And I've often found that some of life's greatest rewards come from, in fact, making a fresh start. Thank you.